Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Tuesday, the players' day off. The coaches will be in drawing up their plans and schemes to take on the Detroit Lions with the starters. That's right, Matt LaFleur reiterating once again yesterday. He plans to play his guys. A three-week layoff is a little too much for him to bear. So we will see Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and company taking on the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Now, how long they will actually play in this game? I'm not so sure. As I spoke with Andy Herman yesterday, Andy brought up a good point. He'll probably have the feeling of a preseason game where I expect those guys to go in for a few series, maybe even the first half, and then be pulled. I can't imagine they play the full game, but they will be playing. Of that, there seems to be little doubt at this point. Good to see everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Happy Tuesday. Chris, starting us off with a super sticker. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the support. TKM, good to see you at your post. Thanks for the super chat. Nags, happy 2022 to all. Hoping Olive gets a puppy and pappies for the crew. Thank you, sir. Very much appreciated. Robin, if you don't hit the like button, then you're a Vikings fan. I mean, that's fair. That seems to spell it out pretty succinctly and perfectly. Thank you, Robin. Hit the like button, people. Ronan, thanks for the super chat. Arsenal robbed on Saturday. Admit it, Nagler. You see, now here's the thing. I understood a lot of their frustrations, especially that penalty that wasn't given. And then to turn around and give City the penalty, that you've got a case. The rest of it, it was just Arsenal being emotional and overreacting and being stupid. That red card was absolutely, that was completely avoidable. And that's a self-inflicted wound. And you know that. But yeah, the non-penalty, you got a case there. Yeah, their Arsenal fans have a case. Although I will say, thank God for that match because holy cow. Arsenal fan TV afterwards was, oh my God, it was beautiful. Alex, thanks for the super chat. Should starters try to get COVID now to not miss? I don't think you got to try. Everyone's going to get it. It's only a matter of when, not if. Should they? No. We shouldn't try to get COVID, shouldn't try to get a disease that we know very little about and could linger in your body and do God knows what for ages and ages when you're after you've retired. No, they should not try to do that. Sean, thanks for the super chat. Seemed like some positive news on the prospects of Jair, Z, and Bakhtiari coming back for the playoffs, especially Jair. Yeah, Matt saying not only that there's a possibility we could see Jair out there, but David Bakhtiari will practice this week in some capacity. Now, I still don't think they're going to throw him out there in this game on Sunday, but you never know. But yeah, Bakhtiari should be seeing the practice field. Jair is trending the right way. Who knows on Z? I mean, I know we got the report from Mike Garofalo over the weekend that he is back in the building after a seeming absence of, not really being, almost out of sight, out of mind, in the sense of I don't know if anyone really had any idea where he was. But, Z's back in the building, so who knows? Maybe the full cavalry is on its way. Mike, thanks for the super chat. Given Meyer's lack of time with Rodgers this year, would you hesitate to reinsert him, even if healthy, over Lucas? Patrick seems to be in sync with 12. Nah, I'd throw him out there. He's a lot better. I love Lucas. He's a battler, no question about it. But Josh is the better player. I'd put him out there, definitely. What else we got? Does Nag sound deeper? Yeah, Nag sounds ill, is what Nag sounds like. How many quarters will Josh Nyman play against the Red Wings? I don't. Two. Cobb back in the Super Bowl? You better believe it, Justin. I hope so. I know. A bit of a surprise to have him back so early on the practice field, given the nature usually of core muscle injuries. But it was very, very a pleasant surprise to see him back on the practice field last week. Again, I doubt he plays this week, but I think we could see him down the stretch in the playoffs, maybe the NFC Championship game, if they get there. That's what I'm hoping for. Is Preston a player who really feeds off the crowd? That's a good question, Dylan. I don't know if it's so much that he feeds off the crowd. I think there's this kind of a symbiotic relationship there, though. You definitely know after he's made a play, he is not shy to kind of soak in the admiration from the crowd, and I think the crowd feeds off his energy. Those big sacks when he does his thing, Lambeau comes alive. So and I do think any player, they'll, especially on defense, they'll talk. Last year we heard a lot from the guys about how the empty stadiums were so weird, and it was hard on defense to kind of find that extra juice, so to speak, that you get from the crowd. So I do think it's a bit of a symbiotic relationship, more so than just the crowd feeds his performance. But you definitely notice a bit of a difference. I'll give you that. Chase, thanks for the super chat. What a magical first game to attend. The cold was fun and the wind was better, but the people of Green Bay were the best part. Love vibe of the city. I'm so happy you got to go, Chase, and I'm so happy you feel that way because there is something special about it, right? When I was there for the Bears game, it's just the vibe is so electric and so welcoming and warm. In a way, it just isn't in a lot of NFLs, in most NFL cities. That's what almost everyone to a T who I've ever been friends with who are fans of different teams, when they go to Lambeau for the first time, that is almost always their initial takeaway, is how kind of the vibe and how, even if you're an opposing fan, people are friendly, you know, for the most. There's always one or two yahoos, of course, but for the most part, it's a very welcoming, warm environment, even on a frozen night. So I'm really glad you got to go, man. That's awesome. Accidental Hero, thanks for the super chat. Paul Allen is the anti-Madden, a voice with nothing to say. His last gig was track announcer in Minnesota. No football knowledge, empty helmet, a great ugly. Accidental Hero, the smackdown of Paul Allen. Nuclear Family, thanks for the super chat. What does run solution mean? Hear it all the time. Basically, if you have a play where, or an RPO is probably the easiest example, but even just like a straight up audible, if you've got a front presented to you on offense and they're taking away, let's say, something that's easy for you, well, that you thought was going to be your primary play, it was going to be a passing play, say, you have a run solution to solve the front. So Aaron can check to that, or the quarterback, whoever it might be. It's just another way that coaches like to make things sound cooler than they are. Do you think the Packers have already made their 2022 roster wish list and strategy to retain them? Robin, I mean, somewhat. They're always going to have, paths laid out that they want to try to take as far as retaining players, acquiring players. That's a pro personnel and player personnel's job, you know, is to be looking ahead always, not just a 1 year ahead, but years ahead. I have little doubt that has been in place for some time. Now, it's undoubtedly being massaged all the time and changed and worked on. As Brian always talks about, it's a huge puzzle. And we all know the difficulties they face next year with the cap. That is somewhat self-inflicted because they did keep everybody together as much as they could for this season and this run. But yeah, there's definitely a plan. There's definitely an idea of what they'd like to do. Now, never goes exactly how you want it to, but for the most part, yeah, they'll have undoubtedly looked at every, as many combinations as they possibly can, as far as who they can keep, who they'll have to, the tough choices they'll have to make as far as letting guys go. Contract negotiations, extensions, pay cuts, what have you, all of that is planned out as much as it can be, usually years in advance. So I don't envy Russ Ball this offseason, I'll tell you that, no doubt about it. Dave, thanks for the super chat. In a game like this, does the coach go in with a list of what concepts he wants to run, or does that get baked into the plan and then he coaches to win? A little bit of both, Dave, I want to say. I've talked a little bit about this with LaFleur off camera, like on our own kind of thing. And he's always really vague because no coach ever wants to give up the shop. And Mike McCarthy was the same way. They never really want to get into it too much. But yeah, kind of. There's definitely much more of the latter than the former. They will have their plays, their play sheet, so to speak. And we've heard Matt talk about this as well. A lot of it comes down to down and distance, right? In situational football, you're not going to go, you don't have like old school. I mean, Bill Walsh kind of did. Here's our first 15 plays. We're going to run them no matter what. But now it's much more, okay, we have our regular down and distance, you know, our first and second down calls. That's a big chunk of the play sheet. And then you've got situational stuff like third down, what have you, red zone. Those are all broken down into different scenarios. Now, those concepts can be baked into some of those calls. And specifically, if you are facing an opponent in a defense like Zimmer's that has traditionally presented X number of challenges for you, you may have ways you want to attack it with those concepts that then, yes, are baked into some of the play calls where, okay, I know, and this is interesting. We've heard a lot about, you've probably seen a lot written about, I think actually Packers News is leading with all the different kind of combinations and how they utilized Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in the backfield a lot on Sunday night. That's something Matt's reached for before against Zimmer. You go back to 2019, the first game against the Vikings, go back and watch. That's when they had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the backfield together a lot, and they marched right down the field and really kept the Vikings off balance with that package. So I do think that's the kind of thing where if there's a defense that you know some of these personnel groupings and concepts can maybe not give you an advantage, but they certainly seem to attack what the defense likes to do a little bit better, you're definitely going to see that as part of the plan and as part of the kind of grab bag, so to speak, that the play caller can reach for on his play sheet, package, you know, personnel package, whatever, throughout a game where he knows, okay, this combo has been pretty successful for us in the past. So, I mean, and everything I just said, still insanely rudimentary as far as breaking it down, tendencies, here's what they like to play on third and long coverage-wise, and here's our best way to attack it. That's how granular it can get, right? So the very short answer is it's probably a bit of a combo of both, but as long as I've been talking, I'm still only beginning to scratch the surface of how they put that stuff together. Badaniri, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, I have COVID, and thank you for doing this. It helps distract me, but how do you think this team compares to last year's squad? Thank you. Well, as someone just getting over COVID, man, I feel you. The distraction thing, I think I watched every Star Wars movie twice over my isolation. Do I think this team compares to last year's squad? The resiliency in this team is unmatched as far as, I mean, it does. I know Aaron talked about this earlier this season, but it does remind you of 2010 in the sense of that year, you 16 guys on IR, none of those guys could come back. We've been having these carrots dangling of possibly getting Jair, Bakhtiari, whoever back this year. But still, while that's happening, there's just winning games with an undermanned crew. And that resiliency is something that last year's team never had to deal with. You know, they were very healthy for much of the year. And the fact that this team has done what it's done with a skeleton crew at times is pretty damn impressive. So to me, that's the biggest difference. They're still finding ways to win. They still make the plays that need to be made. And as frustrating as it can be sometimes, they're not as efficient on offense. Their defense has been up and down. But, man, they seem to rise to the occasion each and every week in a way that we haven't seen in Green Bay for quite some time, I think. What else we got here? Ivan, thanks for the super chat. Any book club predictions for Pat's show today? I don't know, Ivan. As soon as they start stop talking football, I turn it off. I never stick around for the book club stuff. But I know people do, and people enjoy it, which is awesome. Big Cheese, thanks for the super chat. If LaFleur plans to play starters next week, you think it would be for a quarter, half, or more? Yeah, I think it would have the feeling of a preseason game. I think it'd be a half or so. Who knows? Maybe they play in the whole game. Stubborn like that, but I would suspect, yeah, they would pull in at halftime. But we'll see. The Aaron Nagler book club. Nobody wants that. It would just be like, what do I have on my shelves? It'd be like Packers books, Christopher Hitchens, and crime novels. And that'd be it. That'd be my book club. Landon, thanks for the super chat. If Myers came back, who plays right tackle if Turner can't go? Kelly has played well. Does he keep the spot? Or does someone else slide in there? Why would anyone move? No, yeah, Kelly definitely stays in there. No question about it. He's playing at a high level. They don't have a better option. No, absolutely. If Turner's on the sideline, Kelly's playing right tackle. No question. That's legit why he was signed. You know, I'm pretty sure if you put Matt on some or not Matt, if you put Brian on some truth serum, he would say, after watching the NFC Championship game and our tackles getting worked, there's no way I'm going into another season with suspect depth at tackle. There's no way. And man did the do. T-Man, thanks for the super chat. On the eve of the playoffs, what are the greatest weaknesses you see in this 21-21 Packers squad has, and how serious are those weaknesses? Always looking for the negative, huh? Can't look at the positive. I'm kidding. So the weaknesses? Still, you know, you still probably want to point to the run defense despite what they did against the Vikings. Only because you have to think, you know, when you get in the playoffs, that weather is cold. Teams are going to want to run the ball. Now, who that might be, maybe it's Tampa. You know, maybe it's the Rams. Who knows? But that is the thing that they have got to make sure, you know, that wasn't a mirage that we saw on Sunday night. I thought they played extremely well up front. But how motivated was that Viking squad without Kirk Cousins? You know, how well were they playing across the board? Yeah, I don't know. That's the question, right? But to me, other than that, this team does everything well. You know, they score points. They move the ball. Yeah, the first quarter is a bit of a bugaboo. But, man, they can run. They can pass. They can definitely defend the pass. They definitely take the ball away. They definitely create turnovers on defense. Hell, Rasul Douglas almost had another one on Sunday night. You know, so there isn't anything that I worry about. Obviously, special teams is the one thing, the one X factor where you're like, if there's something going to cost them a game, it's probably special teams. Now, I know David Moore went on the COVID list, and hopefully he's back and right as rain for the game on Sunday and going into the postseason, because they seem to have found a solution there. You know, he seems to fit the bill as far as a returner goes. But you saw Corey Bohorquez have a shank. You saw him drop that that snap, almost cost him an extra point. Those are the things that can get you beat. So, you know, you want to talk about the weaknesses. Those are the two. Those are the two things that could derail them on their way to the Super Bowl. Other than that, all gas, no fucking break, man. Ronan, thanks for the super chat. That Vikings cheese video on Twitter really made me question humanity. Who greenlit that? I mean, oh yeah, that was bad. So glad they brought back the pony package. Yeah, baby. Get those backs in the backfield. That's what I'm talking about. I just can't believe we haven't got a wheel route out of it yet. Ivan, thanks for the super chat. Oh, yeah, Samuel was a field goal, not an extra point. It was a kick. You're going to live. Keep scrolling. Ivan, thanks for the super chat. In all seriousness, Nags, glad you're okay. Disagree with you plenty, but love your X's and O's and league coverage. It's unmatched. Banky's okay, too. Thanks, Ivan. That's very nice of you to say. Hey, man, we can all disagree on stuff. We all love the Green Bay Packers, and that's all that matters. Thanks, buddy. Alex, thanks for the super chat. Biggest weakness of all teams is COVID this year. I mean, that's really something that's outside your control as a team for the most part. You can still follow every protocol to the letter of the law and still get, you know, completely wiped out personnel-wise by COVID. We've seen that. So, yeah, I hear you. It's one of those specters hovering over the entirety of the season. But yeah, as Matt says, it is what it is. Everybody's got to deal with it. You can only do what you can control. Kenny Clark at fullback and goal line situations like Raji. Oh my God, I would absolutely love it. I would absolutely love it. Mike Malone, thanks for the super chat. This team's biggest weakness is its fans who think they should be GM begging for players like AB, OBJ, etc. Goody is a wizard. Goody is a wizard, but man, I wanted OBJ, and so did Brian. So, I mean, it's not all crazy. T-Man, thanks for the super chat. Tyler Davis is a name I see popping up more and more. He had a few good catches in the last two games. What do you know about this guy? I honestly, not a ton, other than he's a very young player who seems to have earned Rodgers' trust, and he's been in the right place at the right time. That seam route he caught in Baltimore really opened some eyes. Assignment, sure. I think he's only going to get more opportunities. Like you say, he's been turning heads. There's no doubt about it. Did Dylan get paid for wearing the bibs? No, he did not, actually. Let's give a shout-out to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, shall we? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Cheesehead. That's what you want to do. Promo code Cheesehead. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 in free credits with their first deposit. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and check out all they have to offer, including same-game parlays, player props, live betting, and so much more. DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, don't forget about the DraftKings Fantasy app. They are offering millions of dollars in total prizes every week. And if you need a testimonial, Oz Osborne right here in the comment section. Our buddy, he's won a bunch of money out there in Colorado on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I can't wait for it to be available here in New York so I can start throwing down. People, do it. Promo code Cheesehead. That's what you're looking for. Nuclear family, thanks for the super chat. On at least two occasions now, Matt LaFleur has talked about Jair on offense. Do you think that's real or is that a joke? I would love to see it. I think it's real in the sense that he's seen him running on the scout team and seen him with the ball in his hand and said, we could do something with that. So watch this space. We'll see. Maybe we get a little trickeration in the playoffs. It'd be awesome. Can we please give Juwan more playing time? Rob, I love Juwan Winfrey. I love this kid. I thought he had a great camp. Who do you take off? Who's not getting snaps in his place? It's always the dilemma, right? I think they'll try to utilize him a little bit more, but it's not like you're going to play MVS less or Lazard less or Devontae less, you know? It's just tough, man. So many mouths to feed. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Thanks for going above and beyond last Friday. Jones Dylan is like Horning Taylor. Fucking beautiful. Thanks, Ed. Absolutely agree. That is what I'm talking about. A little bit of love for the backfield. A.J. Dillon just became the mayor of Nina. Cripes, I forgot about Cobb. Great, he may be coming back. I feel bad I forgot about 18. Too many weapons, man. Too many people to keep track of. When they're scoring 37 points, you're like, oh, yeah, this offense is firing on all cylinders. Oh, wait, they didn't even have their slot guy. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's an embarrassment of riches is what it is, and I completely understand it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a huge favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. And join us tonight, Packs What She Said Live. Maggie and Perry breaking everything down for you, talking Packers. Always a fun time. We'll be here live on the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe so you know when they're live. Tonight, right here on Cheesehead TV. Thanks a lot, everybody. Hope you all have a great day. Keep repping. Keep carrying the G. Go Pack Go.